And now I want you to turn with me in your New Testament this morning to the Gospel according to Luke. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. The theme for our messages during the month of October centers about the harvest, because our month of October is designated as Harvest of Souls Month. I trust that you will be in prayer for the message today, as we shall be giving you the eternal seed of God's Word as we think about harvest and harvest time. Before the harvest, there must come the planting of the seed. And that is the emphasis for today, sowing seed for harvest. Luke chapter 8, and I shall begin reading at the fourth verse, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are glad and grateful today that we have the privilege to worship Thee. In all of Thine economy with us, in all of the measures with which Thou hast dealt with us, in all of the approaches that Thou hast made in redemption, we thank Thee that it all centers in Jesus Christ. Every message is a Christ-centered message. The gospel is Christ living and dying and raised again. We thank Thee for that message today and for the seed of Thy blessed word, and pray that it might be implanted in our hearts to spring forth to harvest is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now in Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered. It withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath an ear, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that they, seeing, they might not see, that seeing, they might not see, and hearing, they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, that is testing or trial, fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection or completion. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. The greatest lessons ever taught came from the greatest teacher who ever lived. From the world of nature in my text today, Jesus brings forth a marvelous spiritual parallel. Here in these words of Jesus, I wish to give you again words that would admonish you to do the same thing that Jesus admonished his hearers to do. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is a very beautiful scene. Sowing seed for harvest is our theme for today. And I trust by the help of the Holy Spirit to paint a word picture for you that contains just three words, basically. The sower, the seed, and the soil. You know, times have changed from what they used to be. There was a time when all it took to be a farmer was a pair of mules, a tract of land, and a plow. But now you got to have a college education, you got to have tons of equipment, and you got to have enough knowledge to know how to get money from Washington for the land that you don't use. Farming, like everything else, has changed. But Jesus captures this rural scene here to teach his disciples a wonderful lesson. The sower, the soil, the seed, and the soil. Those three things Jesus talks about. Those are the three things that I want to just talk to you about for a few moments this morning. First of all, the sower. What shall I say about the sower? Who is he? Well, Jesus does not specifically identify the sower, but I believe that Jesus makes it very clear that the sower is anyone who sows the seed of eternal life. So we would do no injustice to this picture to place ourselves in the position of the sower who went forth to sow his seed. Now, in order to have a harvest, these three things are necessary. There must be a sower, there must be seed, there must be soil. Now, you can have the finest tract of land and the most productive seed that can be grown or purchased, but without a sower, the seed and the soil are without profit. So Jesus begins at the beginning point. A sower went forth to sow his seed. I think it is one of the marvels of grace that God uses anybody who's willing to be used of him. D.L. Moody said it, "It is yet to be seen what God will do with a life that is completely surrendered to him." When I say that God uses anybody, that's exactly what I mean. What shall I say of Moses? A stuttering, stammering shepherd. But God used him to deliver the great nation Israel from Egypt. Or what about Amos? A bashful, blushing plowboy. But God used him to call a whole nation back to himself. And Peter? That braggadocious, boisterous fisherman. God used him to deliver the initial sermon on the day of Pentecost that resulted in 3,000 souls being saved. Isn't it a marvel of grace that God could use us today? With all of our handicaps, God uses us. With all of our weaknesses, God still uses us. With all of our unworthiness, God still sees fit to use us. For you see, it has been the plan and program and purpose of God from the very beginning to use human flesh. God will use you this morning if you'll put yourself at His disposal. You can be the sower that goes forth to sow. Now, the farmer soon learns that he has to leave other things undone sometime to get the most important thing done. There's no need for him to sharpen his plow and oil his team's mechanism or the tractor, as the case might be, if he doesn't go forth to sow. Because without the sowing, there can be no harvest. What did Paul say? How shall they hear except there be a preacher? There must be, in the vineyard of God, in the fields of harvest, someone to go forth to sow the seed. And the seed is not sown altogether from behind the sacred desk. The seed can be sown from behind the schoolroom desk. The seed can be sown out there driving the truck or doing the work of the menial labor and task of whatever your job is before God. And I say again that whatever your task is, beloved, this morning, however menial it might seem in the eyes of the world about you, if it is an honest labor, it is, as before the Lord, just as much as any other labor, because labor is sanctified in God's sight. Because God said man would labor and earn his bread even by the sweat of his brow. There must be a sower. Let me ask you this morning as I talk to you, are you willing to be the sower to go forth to sow the seed? Do you want harvest in your life? Do you want harvest in your church? Would you like to have harvest in your community? Would you like to have a harvest all across the length and breadth of this nation of ours? Then somebody's got to sow the seed. Somebody's got to be a sower. You can be that sower. Jesus can say about you, the sower goes forth to sow. If you won't take any personal offense, I'd say that Tuesday night would be a good time to be a sower of the seed. Amen. And if you do take personal offense, I still say that Tuesday night would be a good time to sow the seed. You know, preachers have become altogether too careful in these days. Careful they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Elijah wasn't careful that he would hurt the king's feelings. Jesus said, I've come to divide you. Jesus always divided his audience. Some of you will go away happy today. Some of you will go away sad. Some of you will go away glad. Some of you might even go away mad. But then you'll be the loser. I say again, if you are a child of God, a Christian, a believer, then you ought to be busy sowing the seed. Whether it's on Tuesday night, or Monday night, or someday, or some other night. Every believer ought to carry the seed with him. You never can tell when you can find some fertile ground. Jesus said a sower went forth to sow. Then in the second place, Jesus talked about the seed. Jesus made it very clear. There's no mistake here. Jesus said the seed is the word of God. Unless this seed is sown, there can be no faith. And if there's no faith, you cannot be saved. Paul says in Romans 10:17, for then hearing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I said, if the seed is not sown, there can be no faith. And beloved, if there's no faith, there can be no salvation. For Paul states, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you follow me? Unless the seed is sown, there can be no faith. And if there is no faith, there can be no salvation. The seed is the word of God, and the seed must be sown. A soap maker and a preacher were walking down the street together one day, and the soap maker was not a Christian. And thinking that he might find some way to rouse the preacher a little bit as they walked down the street, he said to the preacher, "I see that the gospel that you're preaching isn't doing much good with all of the evil and wickedness and vile and sinfulness that's going on in the world today. I see that your gospel is not doing very much good." The preacher answered him never a word. They kept on walking down the street. They came by a group of children playing on the sidewalk making mud pies. The preacher said, "I see that the soap that you're putting out is not doing any good. There's still a lot of dirt in the world today." "Oh," but the soap maker said, "maybe you don't understand. Soap is without any good use unless it's applied." The preacher said, "That's exactly it. The gospel is without any good use unless it's applied. Unless the sower goes forth with a seed, which is the word of God, there can be no faith and there can be no salvation." And what a seed we have to plant today. This seed that I hold in my hand, the word of God, is a living seed. It's an incorruptible seed. It is an eternal seed. Well, Peter's appraisal of the word in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Paul's appraisal of this seed, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And what did Jesus say about this seed? Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away." What a seed we have to sow this morning. You see, this word today is what it is because of whose it is. It is what it is because of whose it is. It's God's word. That's why it's like a fire. That's why it's like a hammer. That's why it's like a sword. That's why it's incorruptible, eternal, ever living. Because of whose it is. It's God's word. And I'm preaching to you the word of God and the God of the word this morning. A man by the name of Hengstenberg was a very noted German scholar. But he was a rationalist, an unbeliever. He did not believe that the Bible was the Word of God. But one day, in the midst of a simple Moravian Bible study, this noted German rationalist trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, studying the Word of God. Before he died, he wrote, and I quote, "We may fashion a God out of stone or out of our own imagination, and yet it will still be a false God. The only true and living God is the God of the Bible." And that's my message to you this morning. The same thing that Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. A sower went forth to sow. And the sower is anyone who plants the seed of eternal life. And the seed, beloved, is the word of God. You know, it doesn't matter how much a preacher knows, and how well he can speak, and how eloquent he is, and how he can make gestures, and whatever else he can do. It is not the lungs of man that brings conviction to a sinner. It is the eternal word of God. It's not what man can do, it's what God's word can do. Jesus talked about the sower, and Jesus talked about the seed, and Jesus talked about the soil. The soil spoken of here is the soil of the human soul. Jesus makes three things clear as he talks about the seed and the soil and the sower. Number one, Jesus makes it very clear that the harvest depends upon where the seed is sown. Two, Jesus makes it clear the harvest depends upon how the seed is sown. And three, Jesus makes it clear how the seed is received. It's not only divine sowing of the divine word, but it's human response to the divine word. I think we can see out of these four types of soil that Jesus points out that only 25% or one-fourth ever produces any fruit. And what is the soil that Jesus talks about? He calls attention to four kinds of soil, four kinds of hearts, if you please, four kinds of hearers. First, Jesus talks about the careless hearer. Jesus said the sower goes forth to sow, and some of the seed falls by the wayside. Now, in our days of modern farming, that might be hard to understand. But if you remember that in Palestine, a path would go across a complete field where the travelers would walk. Some of the seed that the sower would put out would fall in the path and be trodden down, and the birds of the air would come and pluck it up. And Jesus said those who fall by the wayside are those who hear the word, but they don't respond to the word. There is no response. So the wayside hearer is the careless hearer. And the devil comes and plucks the word out of their heart, lest they believe. I think a good example of that is Judas. You know, Judas heard just about as much of the word as any of the 12. But he did not respond to it. He lacked understanding. And the devil took the word out of his heart, lest he believe and be saved. The second kind of hearer is the superficial hearer. Jesus said a sower went forth to sow, and some fell by the wayside, and other fell on the rock. Now you know and I know, if the rock is covered over with a thin layer of soil, that soon the seed will break open and the sun will bring forth the sprout, but because it lacks depth and doesn't have any root, it soon dies and withers away. A whole lot of people hear the word of God like that. No depth. All they have is a surface emotionalism. And Jesus said in the hour of trial and testing, they wither away. You know, a lot of people have heard the word of God like that, and they claim to have made themselves right with God and have been saved when all they've had is a little crust of soil. And they have experienced some sort of emotionalism, but they've never really, truly been born again, because the word of God has never taken root in their lives, because they have no depth to understand. It's all emotionalism. It springs up, and in the hour of testing, it dies. That's the second kind of hearer, the superficial hearer. The third kind of soil, or the third kind of hearer, Jesus says, a sower went forth to sow, and some fell on thorny ground. I like to call this the preoccupied hearer. Some of you this morning are preoccupied with what you're going to do this afternoon, or what you're going to do next week. And some Christians can attend church Sunday after Sunday, and they're so preoccupied that all they hear is a noise. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Don't be so preoccupied with business and pleasure and home and family and dinner and vacation and tomorrow's work that you don't hear the word of God. preoccupied hearers, fell among the thorny ground, half-heartedly hearing the word of God, hearing but allowing the material things of life to squeeze the life out of the little tender seed that's planted. Jesus says about this preoccupied hearer that three things serve to choke him out. One, the cares of life. The word there really is anxieties of life. And in the Greek, the word anxiety means to be drawn in different directions. Oh, I know today there are so many things to draw us in so many different directions. But beloved, when the word of God goes forth, our minds ought to be centered and set upon it. Don't be preoccupied with the anxieties of life. The second thing Jesus said, the riches of life like thorns come up and choke out some people. No wonder the psalmist said, if thine riches increase, set not thine heart upon them. Nothing wrong with being rich if you use your money in the right way. Nothing at all. The reason that most of us don't have any more than we have is that we are not honest and fair with God. And God takes up collection in this way and that way. You know, we kind of sponge a little bit on God and we can't quite make the tithe this week. And way back in the northeast corner of our mind, we say, well, we'll make it up. But somehow or another, we never do. And God has a little added expense here and a little added expense here and sort of just takes it up for us. But a lot of people hear the word of God and let riches and the things of the world choke it out. The third thing Jesus said was pleasures. Cares and riches and pleasures, like thorns, choke out the word of God, the precious seed that's planted. You know how hard it is to grow any kind of productive plant? Where there are thorns and briars and thistles that come up, there's not room for both of them. The thorns and thistles are tough and they choke out the little plant. The cares, the riches, and the pleasures of the world, Jesus said, choke out the seed that's planted in the preoccupied hearer. You know, I think a good example of this is the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. Now, he was a very good man because he stated all of his qualifications. And Jesus said, well, you lack one thing yet. Go and sell all that you have and then come and follow me. In other words, Jesus put his finger on the thing that was keeping this man from being a Christian. What was it? Material possessions. Jesus said, get rid of them and then come follow me. And the Bible says the rich young man went away sorrowful because he was very rich. The preoccupied hearer is so engrossed in the material things of life that the precious word of God is choked out of his heart and soul. But then that fourth kind of soil, or the fourth kind of hearer, Jesus talks about is the responsive hearer. Jesus said a sower went forth to sow, and some seed fell by the wayside, and some fell on rocky ground, and some fell on thorny ground. But Jesus said some fell on good ground. And it sprang up, and it brought forth fruit even 100-fold. I'm glad today that there are those who hear the word, and they respond to it. And I believe the Ethiopian eunuch is an example of this. Remember, he was traveling in his chariot from Jerusalem back down to his home on the Gaza Strip. And he had just returned from a time of worship and conclave of religious things in Jerusalem. And as he rode back in his chariot, he was seated there reading the prophecy of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. There is no beauty when we see him. There is no comeliness that we should desire him. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a sheep before the slaughter. And as a lamb is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And God said, Philip, go up and join yourself to that chariot. I want you to plant some seed this morning, Philip. Here's a man who's reading the word, but he doesn't understand. So Philip joined himself to the chariot. And Philip, when he heard the man reading aloud, said, Mister, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, No, sir. I don't understand. How can I understand unless I have some man to guide me? And the place that he read was from the prophet Isaiah, as we've just given you. And Philip said, Well, mister, I think I can help you. And the Bible declares that Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him baptismal regeneration. No, that's not what it says. And Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Baptist doctrine. Well, it turned out to be Baptist doctrine, but that's not what Philip intended it to be. Just turned out that way. I mean, I'm not responsible for that. All I'm responsible for is delivering it to you, just like Philip was. And Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. That's what the world needs today. The world doesn't need reformation. It needs regeneration. The world doesn't need a jag. It needs Jesus. That's what the world needs today. So Philip opened his mouth and began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, I believe he told him how that the prophet was prophesying about Jesus. Because remember, the man said, is this prophet writing about himself or does he speak about somebody else? Philip must have told him how Jesus would have been born of a virgin and how he would grow up and live and die on a cross and be raised from the dead. And as they drove along, they came by a body of water. And the man said, Sir, here's water. Does anything hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart. And the man said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ of God, the anointed, the Messiah. That's a good ground here. He heard the word of God and responded to it. And he believed and he was saved and he was baptized. And then Philip was caught up to go plant the seed somewhere else. There's no end to it. Careless hearer, superficial hearer, preoccupied hearer, responsive hearer. What kind are you? It'll make the difference in your eternal destiny. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, as we bow before thee at the close of this service, we thank thee for the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for the sower, the seed, and the soil. And we ask today that as the seed has been sown by an unworthy sower, we thank thee that that does not change the power of the seed. We pray that it might fall upon responsive hearts, good ground hearers, not upon the wayside hearers, those who are careless as they hear the word, not upon the superficial hearers who have no depth of understanding, not upon the preoccupied hearers who allow the cares and riches and pleasures of the world to choke out the tender sprout of thy blessed word. But may it have fallen upon good ground, responsive hearers, to bring forth fruit even today, is our prayer in Jesus' name.